been an awesome. Yes, love that. But it's been an awesome series so far. I'm grateful to be preaching the word tonight on the importance of enduring through hardships as followers of Jesus. So let me share my slides here now that I'm not sharing my sound. Let's get this going. Trying to help you guys out with some slides tonight. All right, let's see here. Cool. Present. Okay, cool. All right. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Hannah's right here. All right. So like I said, we're going to be talking about enduring through hardships. And let me also just open the chat so I can see all the crazy things you guys are going to say, because that's always fun. But if you haven't yet, please get out your Bible and your notebook. We really are going to be digging into some awesome passages tonight. But before we dig in any further, let's pray together. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for bringing us here yet again virtually. We're so grateful for this way that we can meet together and just be united, God, just learning from your word and just being inspired by you, Jesus, in the life that you lived. God, I know there's a lot of different people on this call tonight coming from different walks of life. Some of us have made Jesus Lord and are Christians. Some of us are not. I just pray that wherever we're coming from tonight, God, that you would just help us to learn and take away the things you want us to learn from your word, God. I pray your spirit would move tonight and that we can all leave feeling encouraged. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So tonight we're going to look at some passages that honestly will preach for themselves and help us learn the true biblical reason for hardships. And so tonight's going to be more like doing a Bible study together as we dive into multiple passages. So you guys ready to do a Bible study on enduring hardships together? Hope you guys are pumped. Let's do it. My two main points are the reason for hardship. And the second point is how to endure during hardships. So the reason for hardships and how to endure. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You've probably already have had your share of hardships. Whether you've been a disciple of Jesus for 2 days, 2 months, or 2 years, we've all faced trials and hardships. And even if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I'm sure you've faced your own hardships as well and have had to figure out how to deal with them and the trials that come your way just in life, and especially over this past year and a half with all that we've experienced with COVID-19. But here's the deal. In the world, hardships can come and potentially not really shape who you are as a person in the world. But as Christians, hardships are what make us who we are. And more importantly, they can make us more like Jesus. They refine our character. Biblically speaking, you cannot be a Christian and not go through hardships, right? It's not scriptural, and we certainly don't see that in the life of Jesus. And more specifically, what we're going to see tonight in these scriptures we look at is that we're not only called to go through hardships, but we're called to grow through hardships when they come, because it's not if they're going to come, is when they come. Amen. And so first, let's talk about the reason why we go through hardships as followers of Christ, because in life, we need to know our why. You know, when we know why we're going through something, it helps us in the middle of that trial or in the middle of that time of suffering. When we don't know why, when we don't know the reason for our hardship or suffering, we tend to avoid all forms of pain. We tend to run from hardships and we don't grow as Christians. We actually can become more selfish when we don't know our why. But when we see the value of hardships, we can really grow. So turn your Bibles over to James chapter 1. This is the first point, the reason for hardships. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, gives us some really great insight here. James had a front row seat to seeing his brother Jesus go through many hardships. And in the beginning of James chapter 1, we'll start here in verse 2. You guys know the scripture. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Wow. Now, to be clear, James's word here, word of encouragement, to consider it pure joy, is not a word for all people or just for a general group of people or all of America. His word here is a specific call for the people of God, for brothers and sisters under God the Father, to consider it pure joy. The joy he's talking about doesn't make sense at all unless you are a follower of Jesus. Christian author Tim Keller, in his book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, makes a really compelling case. And he has a quote in his book. He says, "The secular Western worldview is the least equipped to deal well with the pain and suffering because it has no meaning to assign to it." And so for most Americans, their default purpose in life is pleasure, right? In more American language, it's the pursuit of happiness, right? Our Western world finds it very difficult to attribute value to hardships or suffering. But as Christians, we see meaning in it because Jesus did and preached about it. So according to the words of James here, why do we go through trials and hardships of many kinds? Well, let's kind of break this down here. It says it's because it produces perseverance and maturity. Let's work backwards as we break down these verses here. So James ends by saying that if you persevere through hardships, you will end up mature and complete, not lacking anything. I mean, who doesn't want that on the Zoom call right now? Not lacking anything. I mean, come on, that's incredible. But how do we get to this state of maturation? Well, in verse 3, he says that when our faith is tested, it produces perseverance. So we can't really learn what it means to persevere if our faith and our trust in God is never tested. We can't learn the value of perseverance or what it means to persevere if we don't face hardships. But if we do have hardships, we gain all of this, all that James is talking about here. We gain the gift of learning to persevere, growing in trust in God, maturing and not lacking anything because of what God is giving us through these trials. And so this is why James starts by saying, hey, church, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And let's be honest, that sounds crazy, right? You might have read the scripture a billion times, but it sounds backwards, right? But it's not backwards, because it should bring us joy when we see an opportunity to draw closer to God and mature in our faith, right? It should bring us joy that we get to mature and not lack anything. The New Living Translation of this passage reads this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Okay, so one reason why we go through hardships as Christians is because God wants us to learn how to persevere, and he wants us to mature. So there's one reason why, as we're talking about this first point, the reason for hardships. Another reason why we will go through many hardships as disciples is get this, because of the gospel, because of the good news. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, I'm going to have these up on the slides for you guys, but it's always good to have your Bible out. 2 Timothy 1, we're going to start here in verse 8. But pay attention to this passage here as we continue our first point. of the reason or the why for hardships. So Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, he says, rather join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. So why is Paul suffering as he is? It's because of the gospel. And in this passage, he does a beautiful job describing what the gospel is in verses 9 to 10. Paul urges Timothy to join with him in suffering for the gospel, right? That's a really important part of this. Suffering for the message, and specifically the message of Jesus Christ and him being Lord. And so if we look here, it really helps paint a picture of grace, right? He says, we're not saved by anything we've done, right? It's all his motive that God's doing. It's his love is based out of just his sheer love for us, not based off of things we've done or will do, but it's all because of him. And so as Paul's kind of preaching the gospel here, he's saying, hey, that's amazing news. Let's suffer for it. It's that good. Join with me in suffering for it. And he says, hey, I was appointed a herald of this good news, and that is why I'm suffering. And so the only reason why Paul faced persecution, violence, death itself is because he chose to be a messenger of the gospel to all people. But what about you? Can you relate to Paul? Are you eagerly trying to help others know the gospel and experiencing hardship because of it? You know, Paul could have easily lived an easy, comfortable life with way less hardships if he hadn't decided to follow Jesus. But thank God he did. And thank God because of that, we have a New Testament, most of the New Testament. But Paul is saying here that he's going through hardships because he's boldly spreading the gospel. And the reality, guys, is that spreading the gospel means inviting hardships and suffering into our lives, right? I want to share a little bit just about some of my own experiences. You know, when I went to William Patterson, we Matt and I and the whole Willie P crew, we just kind of hit the ground running and started sharing with a lot of people. We weren't a club yet. But my freshman year, man, we just met a ton of people, had a lot of Bible studies going on, saw a couple of people become Christians, and we just had a presence on campus. And we realized that pretty quickly that, oh, wow, I've talked to that person already, or, oh, man, I guess that guy doesn't want to come. And you run into the same people. And then we started to have such a presence that a lot of the Christian clubs that were established clubs kind of knew about us. And they were like, man, who are these, you know, guys and girls run around and want to get in Bible studies and want to hang out and get food together. And so one of the ways that I experienced the scripture, we were applying to be a club and we get to kind of our final round, right? We're ready to be voted in as a club. And Matt and I show up to the final kind of like hearing with the William Patterson council or whatever, the student council. And all the other Christian clubs show up basically protesting against us to become a club and saying, nah, we don't want these people to have a club on this campus. And I remember just being like, this is crazy. And it was one of the first experiences for me where I, for a second, I felt like, am I doing something wrong? Am I being bad? Am I too radical? Am I being pushy? And I had to work through those things and realize, no, this is biblical. This is what it means to spread the gospel. And so God willing, you know, and praise God, we ended up becoming a club. We were a Hope Worldwide club. We were actually one of the first Hope Worldwide clubs in the nation at Willie P. And now they're a true campus ministry club, disciples on campus, and it's awesome. But for me, I had to learn through that, man, I'm going through a hardship But it's not because I'm looking for haters. It's just because I want to please God and I want people to know Jesus. But that was kind of an experience for me, and a lot of others' experiences like that, where I had to dig deep and get to know my why for suffering. And so another reason why we will face hardships as Christians is because of the gospel and because of being active messengers of it, right? Did you know that? And do you experience that in your walk with God? You know, this kind of leads me to another scripture in our Bible study where we find Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure. And let me just say this. Here's the good news, campus, is that Jesus knew we were going to face our hardships, our trials and persecution. So before he left earth, he prepared his disciples for it. And in John 15, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he prepares them for what is to come. But he's also preparing us for what's to come in our lifetime, in our specific culture as we're disciples right now. And so in John 15, verse 18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would have loved you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated me without reason." Wow. Every time I read this passage, it's just a reminder and a wake-up call of the reality of discipleship. You know, Jesus says, "Hey, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first." And he's saying, "Hey, there's a reason why people are going to have a hard time with you, Christians. It's not because you're crazy. It's not because you're a bad person. It's because you're following me. And it's because they hated me first. And they persecuted me first." And Jesus straight up tells them, "They're going to persecute you also." And so we see Jesus just keeping it real with his disciples here, right? And he's saying, "Hey, you belong to the kingdom of God. You don't belong to this world. And so they're going to hate you without reason." I want you to consider this question tonight. Would you rather be liked by the world for the wrong reasons or hated by the world for the right reasons? I really want you to consider that. We got to ask ourselves, how do we define our radical Christian faith in a culture captivated by relativism? How do we share the way of Jesus boldly to an individualistic postmodern society without having some haters, right? You know, our culture says, be true to yourself, accept everything, do you. And this culture we live in is a lot of the reason why young people in groves are leaving the church. Why is that? Well, I believe it's because in most cases, no one ever really dug into the scriptures with them and taught them that Christianity is a radical way of doing life that will lead to both hardships and enemies, right? That's why we sit down, we count the cost with people. We got to help them see this isn't a popularity contest or that lifestyle. Young people tend to be leaving, not just in our fellowship of churches, but just in Christendom, because they haven't built a biblical conviction on why followers of Jesus do what they do. And that it's not about pleasing people or being hip Christians. It's about pleasing God and making him known, right? Some of you might be aware of this, but your universities, the university I went to, we live in a climate, this relativistic, your truth can be your truth, My truth can be my truth. I mean, it's the air we breathe, guys. It's what you take in on social media every day. And sadly, some of us here on this call have been swooped right up by this postmodern culture we live in. And because of that, you're now afraid to step on anyone's toes and to do anything bold for Christ. You'll take a stand where everyone else is, but when it's just you on your own at your school or with your non-Christian friends or coworkers, you find it hard to take a stand for Christ and accept the possibility of not being liked for it. This is what we're living in. You know, you might find it easy to be expressive about your political opinions and stances, but you find it hard to be expressive about your love for God in conversation and on social media. You find it hard to be an expressive Christian, which really that's what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple. It's to proclaim God by everything we do. And so I hope that that makes sense to you guys. And I know this is pretty deep, but we need to understand that we live in a culture and a political climate that tells us to be very tolerant and accepting of pretty much everything. But the world is saying to all of you guys right now and to me, the world is saying, don't rock the boat. Don't take a controversial stand. But Jesus is saying, don't just rock the boat, get out of the boat, show them another way, and walk on the water. I mean, Jesus is going a whole other direction than our culture is, right? But this is hard. It takes conviction to take a stand and accept the fact that there's going to be hardships coming along with it. Would you rather live a comfortable life, not challenging the lives and beliefs of those around you? Or would you rather live a Christ-like life of sacrificial love that makes both friends and enemies? These are real questions that we got to consider when it comes to following Jesus. You know, the reality is we're following the suffering servant, as Isaiah prophesied. We're following a man who made more enemies than friends in his 3 years of ministry. So wouldn't you think that as we practice the way of Jesus, we will also run into hardships of our own? You know, maybe they won't be life-threatening, but they will challenge your faith and convictions for sure. Guys, the truth is that Christianity has never easily blended into a society. From the beginning of the Christian movement, we as followers of Jesus have been met with great adversity. But it's not because we've gone looking for hardships or gone looking for haters. It's simply because following Jesus means going directly against the ways of the world. And not everyone's going to like that, right? You know, Christianity will always be a countercultural movement because we're promoting righteousness while the world is promoting sin. It's that simple. But I want to ask you, how do you feel about that? You know, Luke 21, verses 16 and 19 says, you'll be betrayed even by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. So stand firm and you will win life. Again, I want to ask you, are you okay with being hated for the right reasons? If we're being honest, we want to be liked, right? If you're like me, we want to be liked. We want to be the cool Christians that's friends with everyone and has no haters, right? And of course, we do need to balance this out with being people that are known for the way we love. That people may have beef with us, but they can't deny that we love them unconditionally and that we have a deep love for God. They need to see our love and honestly see that it's a powerful weapon. It's a dismantling love, right? And so I'm just here to remind us all tonight that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. A lot of you guys know this scripture. It's kind of where I just got that sentence from, Acts 14, 21. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. And the same is true for us in 2021. And so that's the goal of tonight, guys, is to be strengthened and encouraged to remain true to the faith, no matter what hardships we're facing. But let's talk about what do we do when we face these hardships or when we face persecution or any kind of suffering, how do we endure? How do we grow through these? What can we do? Well, let's talk about point number two here, how to endure hardships. This is a shorter point. I need some LaCroix. Drop your favorite LaCroix flavor in the chat. Very random. Hebrews 12. Let's keep this going. thank you, coconut. All right, let's read this here. So we're going to talk about how to endure hardships. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Wow, we got some flavors in the chat there. Okay, that's not distracting. So Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, we see this phrase here about Jesus. It says he endured the cross. He had to endure that week and in those days leading up to his death. And so the Hebrew writer here, he's saying, hey, in your battle, in your hardship, when you face opposition, here's what you need to do practically. You need to consider him. You need to consider Jesus and what he went through for you, right? How can we do that? Sometimes I just need to read, Matthew 25 to 27 and just read through the cross. And get my perspective back when I'm going through trials, that I'm going through nothing compared to what he went through for me. Sometimes practically we need to just meditate on what Jesus has done for us. Sometimes we need to have a time of prayer as we're going through a trial or hardship. Just get out there and pray, or pray with your brothers and sisters and pray and think about Jesus. Think about what he's gone through. And also think about, this is a practical thing you can do in prayer, think about what he's already brought you through, past hardships where he's delivered you. And that can give you the faith to say, you know, he's going to get me through this as well. And so we need to go to the word, we need to go to prayer, whatever we can do that's going to bring us back to Jesus, because he's the only one that can strengthen us, and obviously his people, the church. You know, I want to ask you, how do you typically handle hardships? And just when trials come your way, how do you handle them? Do you consider him? Do you consider God? Or do you consider how quickly you can get out of the hardship, right? Or numb the pain? The world has given us an endless list of ways to escape hardships. I mean, we have religions. We have Eastern religions that were invented based off the premise of escaping suffering. I mean, this is just the opportunities we're given. You know, I know for me, when hardships come, first off, I don't want to talk to anyone about it. Like, if something bad happens in my life, my sinful nature is to handle it on my own without God and without his people. My nature is to ignore the hardship and find someone else to blame it on besides myself. In most cases, I don't want to face it. And so I don't know about you, but my sinful nature has a hard time accepting the fact that I've entered into a hardship, and now it's on me to persevere through it and grow closer to God, right? It takes me a little while to get there, to get to what James said of consider it pure joy. But what hardship may you be going through right now in your life? You know, there's a lot of people on this call. What are you going through right now? You know, maybe you just found out that a loved one passed away. Maybe you're in a phase of mourning. You know, maybe you just found out that that guy or girl you're interested in or that you like, they don't like you back. That's hard. Maybe you've gone through a hard breakup recently. Maybe you're trying to going through a hardship of just a period of waiting. Maybe you're waiting on just graduating, right? And I just want to be done with school. Or maybe you're waiting on a job. Or maybe you're waiting to date someone and you feel like you're just in this kind of season of waiting right now. That's a form of long suffering. That's a form of patience. And in times of waiting, we gotta learn to rely on God and not on ourselves, right? Those are times where we can grow. You know, maybe you're just in a time of discomfort. Maybe you wouldn't label it suffering, but maybe things aren't just going your way and you just feel like you're getting kind of hit by the things of life. Again, I really don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's persecution from your family or friends. Maybe there's some family drama going on. Maybe there's friends that don't understand you and there's just a lack of understanding. Maybe you're stressed just by living in a pandemic and all that comes with that and its effects. Maybe it's a job. I mean, there's so many different things that we're facing. But we're all going through something. And because of that, we all need to consider Jesus, that he can relate to you. And there's always going to be hard things in life, but we have the choice of whether we're going to go through them with God or on our own. You know, a simple phrase I once heard Steve Kinnaird say is choose your heart. You know, life is going to be hard no matter what, no matter if you're a Christian or not. You know, you can choose for that hard, though, to be the kind of hard that comes with God or without God, right? But it's going to be hard either way. And so you got to choose your heart. Is your heart going to be because you're not relying on God and now your hardship's probably going to be harder? Or are you going to choose the hard that's saying, you know what, this is going to be a season that's hard for me, but I'm doing it with God. I'm doing it with Jesus. I'm doing it with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so this is my version of hard, but man, it's a lot better than the world's version of hard, right? And so we got to see it as an opportunity that, wow, I can choose my version of hard. C.S. Lewis, writer and scholar, he said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. That's people like us, ordinary people that God wants to give an extraordinary destiny. This will be the last scripture we look at here. You guys doing good? Everyone's still with me here? Wow, I just heard all of you. It's just this loud roar. Awesome. I can't wait to be back in person. Romans 5, we're going to read this in the NLT. We'll start in verse 3. This is our last scripture in our little Bible study. Paul says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love, right? You know, a lot of you guys know this passage. Maybe it's one of your favorite scriptures, but it's another thing to really live it out and to put this passage into practice. But what we see here and what we need to consider is that suffering or these hardships is a way to really not just persevere and not just find a new character, but it's also a moment where we can be like, okay, this is the here and now, but guess what? When Jesus comes back, when I'm with him, what I'm experiencing right now, it's going to be gone. And in those moments, we can say, you know what? This might be tough now, but I have a confident hope of my salvation. I have a confident hope that things are going to change. And so I'm going to grow through this and get excited for heaven, for being with God. I think a question we got to ask ourselves, though, is when you're in a time of suffering, do you find yourself distancing yourself from God and his people? You know, I know this past year and a half, some of us have distanced ourselves while God is saying, no, come closer, right? When we go through hard times, our attitude shouldn't be distance. It should be draw nearer. Draw nearer to God and draw nearer to his people. And so what we learn here from Paul is that, man, in those times of hardship, we gotta remember heaven. We gotta look forward to the day where there will be no hardships, no sin, no pain. And so our current trial should remind us that, hey, we live in a broken world with broken systems. And it should remind us also, though, that when we're with God, none of this will be here. none of the trials we experience. And so I hope these scriptures we looked at tonight encouraged you. I hope you feel called higher tonight, because I know I do by these passages we looked at. And so, guys, let's remember that we will face hardships, suffering, and trials of many kinds, but it's because our Messiah, our teacher, our Savior, Jesus, went through them before us. He paved the way, right? And his word, the scriptures we read, has prepared us for our modern day trials and hardships as a church now. And again, we as Christians, we don't just go through or get through trials. We grow through them with God's help. And so next time you're facing a hardship, or if you're in the middle of one right now, just remember to consider it pure joy, because God is going to mold you through it and is going to make you shine brighter than you ever have before. Amen. Love you guys. Hope this was helpful. We are going to have a time of breaking up into our D groups here. And I just want to give you guys just one discussion question to talk about in your group. And that question is, what is God trying to teach you specifically about the value of hardships? I'll repeat that. What is God trying to teach you about the value of hardships?